From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. In the census figures released just last month, people who identified as Hispanic or Latino made up more than 18% of Illinois' population. It is, by any measure, a growing demographic, up by more than 2 percentage points in the last decade. And the population, despite what you might think, is not just concentrated in Chicago. Among the top counties with the greatest share of people with Latino heritage in Illinois are Kane County in the suburbs, Boone County along the Wisconsin border near Rockford, and tiny Cass County, home of Beardstown, along the Illinois River in the western part of Illinois. But despite this growth, a number of advocacy groups say Latinos are not getting a fair shot at representation in the Illinois General Assembly. Among them are MALDEF, the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, which has filed a lawsuit, and the Latino Policy Forum, which is based right here in Illinois. It's also where our first guest today, Roberto Valdez Jr., is Associate Director for External Affairs. That's a fancy title for the person in charge of lobbying government. Roberto, welcome to The 21st. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, as ever, if you want to join our conversation, the number to do so is 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. Roberto, I want to begin with legislative maps, redistricting. Supermajority Democrats have drawn new districts for the Illinois House and Senate. Actually, this is a new set of maps using the census data that came out last month. They previously tried it in the summer. As I mentioned, MALDEF has sued, and your organization is calling on Governor J.B. Pritzker to veto the new maps. Why?
Well, great question. I do want to start by putting into context this redistricting process, because it really was unlike any that we've ever seen in the state. Normally, historically, census numbers, redistricting census numbers, are delivered to states around end of March. We know that Illinois state constitution says that we must have a new set of legislative districts or a new map drawn by June 30th, if not a bipartisan commission is triggered. We know that the census 2020 was unlike any other because of the pandemic and other reasons. And so really, you know, the state legislature really did have a pretty tall task to achieve in that they did not have the census numbers to work with right off the bat like they normally do. So just want to put that out there at first. And so
maybe I can just pause there and put a fine point on that. So if a certain community, like let's just say a town in the suburbs, had seen a significant growth in Latino population, the legislators, when they made their first attempt, wouldn't have known that. But now they,
it was based, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it was based on projections that are made at these interim census surveys. But now they have the full information, at least as accurate as it can be understood to be. And I want to come back to that question a little later. But so yeah, where are things now then?
Sure. So the Latino Policy Forum, as you mentioned, did put out a statement in August asking the Governor Pritzker to veto the recently passed map, because we felt, and other of our advocate partners who are representing the Black community, Muslim community, Asian community, that the map did not reflect the diversity, and it was not the diversity of Illinois, and it was not equitable to the different communities, the diverse communities of the state. In addition, asking for the veto because of the process that was put forward by the legislature and the redistricting committees, we did not feel that the process was transparent. We did not feel that the process, we felt the process was rushed. And ultimately, we felt the final product or the final map that was passed did not include or included very little to no of the nothing of the feedback that was given by the folks who testified from March through August, essentially.
So what is the problem? Is the idea that their districts do not have enough Latino population in them? You know, it's 40% and you'd rather have it be 50, or you know, I'm just picking those numbers hypothetically. Or is it the number of seats that have, you know, sort of a majority or plurality of Latino voters in those districts? What would fair representation look like, I guess, is the bigger question there.
Sure. So both. We felt that the Latino majority districts that were drawn were not drawn to the full potential or not did not optimize the Latino population in those districts. So essentially, we felt that these districts were diluted when they were drawn, number one. And we did also feel that there were opportunities to draw additional, or at least one additional Latino majority House district, which was not the case. In fact, the recently passed map, instead of having what we felt was equitable 15 Latino majority districts, actually had 13, which was actually one less district than the map that was passed in the during the May mapping and signed into law in June. So not only did we see an increase in Latino population with the newly released census numbers, we did not see that reflection in the drawing of the new maps.
So what are some of the challenges when it comes to drawing majority Latino districts, as opposed to, say, for example, districts that are majority Black?
Sure. Well, so it's fairly well known that the Latino population is fairly dispersed throughout the state. You mentioned the different counties that have seen an increase in the Latino population throughout the state. And so really there isn't enough concentration in certain areas to draw enough districts to reflect the diversity of the Latino community, which is 18% of the state's population. And so that's one of the difficulties. We see other communities are a little more concentrated, so drawing those districts is much more easier, if you will. That being said, because of the growth in certain areas of the state, the southwest side of Chicago did see an increase of Latino population, and that's where we see a potential of drawing of a new Latino majority, House majority district. That means that districts would have to be redrawn, and essentially, this might affect certain incumbents that are in those areas. And so we really feel strongly that by creating, in this case, a new Latino majority district in the southwest side of Chicago, it would actually give the voters in that area the best chance to elect the candidate of their choice.
All right, let me just take a moment to reintroduce you. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. We're speaking with Roberto Valdez, who is Associate Director for External Affairs at the Latino Policy Forum, which is based here in Illinois. We've been talking about redistricting in Illinois and the new census figures about the Latino population here and how that is playing into representation in the Illinois General Assembly in Springfield. We haven't talked, and the Illinois General Assembly has not yet begun making the maps for congressional districts. That is expected to come a little later this year. If you take a sort of strict population approach and apply that 18% figure that I mentioned about Illinois' population that is of Latino or Hispanic heritage, according to the census, and you apply that to the congressional delegation, you would have at least three seats in Congress. That would be 17% of the delegation. Right now, there's really one Latino majority district in Chicago that's sort of famously gerrymandered. It's often cited, but it unites disparate communities there. Can you talk about you think the congressional map ought to look like after lawmakers get done with it this year?
So the Latino Policy Forum does not work on congressional mapping, but the points that you make are accurate and correct. With the population of Latinos being 18%, there is, again, just strictly looking at population numbers, there is room for about two to three congressional districts. And so that is a conversation that I believe that state lawmakers and our congressional delegation should seriously take a look at when we don't have fair representation in Washington, D.C., that really does trickle down to the priorities and the resources, essentially, that are invested in our communities, and in this case, the Latino community.
Do you think that how accurately do you think the census numbers reflect the number of people of Latino heritage here in Illinois, right? There was a lot of concern going into the census that particularly for people who are undocumented in that population, the Trump administration was maybe doing things to dissuade their participation in the census. There's a lot of questions about a citizenship question potentially being on the form, although that was not ultimately there. Do you feel like the census numbers pretty good in the end, or how would you rate them?
Short answer is yes. I think community groups did an outstanding job considering the circumstances, right? We were dealing with a pandemic. We were dealing with a presidential election. So folks weren't necessarily too focused on ensuring that they filled out their census. But the amazing work that community groups did across the state of Illinois, I think, really showed up in the numbers that were produced a few weeks ago from the Census Bureau. We do know that there is a currently a situation in Aurora around a potential undercount, and don't know too much of the information there, but we do know that apparently there's allegedly there's an undercount, about 50% of that undercount did occur in areas where there's strong Latino population in the Aurora area. So there could be some potential there. But overall, I think, again, the numbers really don't trend to an undercount, a significant undercount for Latinos. And again, that's due to the amazing work that community groups did. And also, you know, credit to Governor Pritzker and the state of Illinois for investing many resources, millions of dollars into these community groups. They understood that these were the folks who could really touch the different Latinos, undocumented folks as well, to ensure that they were counted.
If we can, I'd like to take a step back and sure. sort of talk about what we mean when we're talking about Latino communities in Illinois. I think there's this tendency maybe to think of the Latino population as a monolith, but there are all kinds of differences, right? From whether it's national origin, like Puerto Rico or Mexico, to how well established families are, right? You have from undocumented all the way up fourth, fifth, and beyond generations. Can you talk about, you know, what unites the Latino community, but also how they're, you know, how those differences manifest themselves and how that affects the needs and interests of those different groups within the community?
I'm really happy that you point that out, that, you know, the Latino community is not a monolithic group. I've even read stories that term, that phrase in itself is a little overused. We understand that, you know, Latino community represents many nationalities, many cultures, many backgrounds. You know, even some folks being, you know, from essentially the continent for many, many years, where Mexico was part of or the United States was actually Mexico. But I think what ultimately brings the community together is that in those differences, there are shared experiences, whether it's, you know, families coming to the United States for a better life. Whether it's, you know, going through difficulties in specific neighborhoods because of lack of resources or investments. I think these shared experiences, not just within the Latino community, and again, you know, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, et cetera, but also with other underserved communities like the Black community, like the Asian community. A lot of these stories are very similar, regardless of ethnicity or cultural background. And so, ultimately, I think when, you know, these communities, including the Latino community, come together, those are the experiences that really bonds them together, that really makes them understand that, you know, a collective voice is obviously much more powerful than just sharing a specific story that really, you know, does apply to them, but it could also apply to every other community that is going through the same struggles.
And then we need to take a break in about a minute here. But before sure. we do, I want to ask, I wonder if there are issues unique to Illinois' Latino communities, you know, with the limitations we've just discussed on that phrase, but issues to those communities in Illinois that maybe don't get as much attention from a national perspective. What's unique here?
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe an issue that is unique, but very well known. We know that COVID-19 really disproportionately affected the Latino community, as it did, you know, the Black community as well. And so that is something that I think that Illinois Latinos have struggled with in ensuring that the proper resources and investments specifically to COVID-19 recovery, those are being made. I also believe that, you know, we still are looking at trends or issues that have been front and center for many, many years, such as immigration reform. That's still very front and center in the Latino community because of its severity and consequences for the different families that are really part of this, you know, struggle. But definitely the COVID-19, the Latino Policy Forum has produced some recommendations that we've sent to some of our legislators.
That's actually a great point to pause and tease, and we will come back and maybe talk about some of those. And I also want to ask you about vaccination rates and how that's
great.
Going. After a short break, we're speaking with Roberto Valdez, who is with the Latino Policy Forum. We're going to continue this conversation on the 21st. Then after that, we're going to be talking about interracial relationships, romantic and platonic. They're becoming more common, but there are still challenges when trying to build those strong bonds that cross racial and ethnic divides. That's later this hour. You're listening to the 21st. More to come after a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Roberto Valdez Jr., who is with the Latino Policy Forum. We had been talking about redistricting and the census figures on the Latino population in Illinois. And before the break, we had just begun talking about COVID-19. As ever, if you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number to do so. That's 800-222-9455. So before the break, as I said, we were talking about COVID-19. I noticed I was reading the Kaiser Family Foundation report, which noted that Latinos are underrepresented among people who've gotten COVID-19 vaccines. In Illinois, Kaiser said Latinos had gotten 15% of the shots, but they represented 28% of COVID cases, 16% of the deaths. What, from your perspective, is the story behind those numbers?
I really think that at this point, I think there's a few factors. Number one, I still think access is a struggle. And what I mean with that is that many of our community members will, you know, go to a trusted community clinic to get their checkups, to address any health concerns, and that includes, I think, vaccines as well. And I think some of our community clinics do not have the access to these vaccines the way that we feel that they should. So I think access is still a barrier within our community. I also think that misinformation within the Latino community around the vaccine continues to be front and center, unfortunately. There's still a lot of conspiracies out there that the Latino community believes in, at least thinks of and is making them hesitant to take the vaccine. I also think the religious perspective of it also plays in part with our community. Many of our religious leaders, I wouldn't say many, there are some religious leaders in our community who still have not supported or have vocally encouraged their, you know, their audience, their following to take the vaccine. So I think, I mean, you're seeing kind of a hodgepodge of all these reasons why the, and then of course, I mean, lastly, the historical barrier that many folks have read about. Latinos are very hesitant due to mistrust of the government or just healthcare professionals in general. So I think, you know, that's a pretty heavy package causing, I think, the low vaccination numbers.
You were mentioning that your organization, the Latino Policy Forum, had some recommendations for the government here to sort of help bridge some of those gaps in vaccinations and otherwise in COVID response.
Sure. So we know that the federal government provided the state of Illinois with approximately $8 billion in COVID-19 recovery funds. That's in addition to the direct funds that went to the different agencies that are supporting things such as vaccination efforts, mental health efforts, et cetera. But there is this pot of money that was sent to the state, where really there is more flexibility, if you will, for it to be used as long as there is a COVID-19 tie to it. So of that $8 billion, I believe there's about 2.4 that was already appropriated in this last year's fiscal year 22 budget. So we're looking at roughly $5.6 billion that the state of Illinois still has to provide support and assistance as we continue to battle the pandemic, and we continue to support our recovery from COVID-19. And so the Latino Policy Forum has put forward a list of recommendations that cover economic recovery, education, and digital equity, health and mental health, and support for Latino-owned small businesses, which totals approximately $1.3 billion. And so the Latino Policy Forum, along with our partners with the Illinois Latino Agenda, which is a coalition of different community groups and leaders supporting efforts such as the COVID-19 recovery, as well as Illinois Unidos, which is a coalition that came together at the start of the pandemic to really respond to the need of the COVID-19 pandemic affecting the Latino community. We are reaching out to our legislators, to the governor's office, to the different agencies to talk about the different necessities, one being more access to vaccination, others being housing and utility assistance, not just the resources or the funds, but also the outreach efforts for Latino communities. So I won't go through the entire list, but we are really, we'll be addressing those needs, and hopefully could be addressed through those funds that were provided by the federal government.
The last thing, we're almost out of time. The last thing I want to ask you about is a sort of a broader trend. And that's in the 2020 presidential election. It's been reported that Latinos participated at the highest rate in history. But there's also been reporting, there was one report from a group called Equus Labs, it's aligned with Democrats, but it says, in 2020, a segment of Latino voters demonstrated that they are more swing than commonly assumed. And ultimately, I've seen reporting that former President Trump won the votes of about 1 in 3 people of Latino descent. I wonder, how does that affect the work of an organization like yours as you were thinking about, advocating for policies intended to help the community when, in some ways, maybe the political establishment has misunderstood the community?
It's a great question. And I think it goes back to, again, a phrase that has been reported to be used too much. The Latino police, the Latino community is not monolithic. And so with our work, first and foremost, we are a nonpartisan organization, number one. Number two, it really starts, our policy development really starts with listening to community leaders and the community itself. We have a network of over 100 plus community organizations that are working in the housing field, in the immigration field, in the education, early childcare education field. And we go to them first. And those conversations are not based off of, who did you vote for, or are you a registered Democrat or Republican? It's what's going on in your community. What are things that you would want our legislators to focus on? And so really that's the heart of our policy development. And then from there, of course, my job and some of my colleagues is to talk to our legislators where partisan scenarios come into play. But I feel like as long as we have that community foundation, that really the issue started there, was birthed there, ultimately we can get folks to understand and support those policies.
Well, Roberto Valdez, I want to thank you so much for being with us and sharing your perspectives today here on the 21st.
Thank you so much.
Roberto Valdez Jr. is Associate Director for External Affairs at the Latino Policy Forum. More to come in just a moment.